Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be."
Thank you for this. So, Father, I just want to thank you for your written word. But I'm aware, Lord, that without your Spirit, it will be just ink on paper. So we are trusting that your Spirit rests upon us and open our hearts to receive you, our ears to hear you, and our eyes to see you, Lord. And I'm leaning upon you, Father, because this is very precious to me. So I praise you and thank you for my brothers and sisters. And we pray that you will speak to us even today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So, the message is, do not worry about your life. Seek the kingdom of God. There is a lot in just little scripture like this, so I'm not going to unpack it all. I will just really share what I have learned. And do not worry seems easy to say, isn't it? Perfect. All will be fine. But it's impossible to practice without the Lord. So I don't want you to think that I don't worry. I don't want you to think that I am coming from a place of strength and figuring it out. Exactly the opposite, actually. I'm coming from a place of worry and pain. Something happened in life. Life happened November last year. And since then, I've been on this journey of worry. I'm just admitting I want to be transparent with you because the Lord knows. I miss to say to the children, the Lord knows, so don't lie, make it twice. Two cents a month. So the Lord knows. And yet, the Lord Jesus is saying here, do not worry. And he gives us the reason for it. And I will be looking at up and down at the whole chapter because the reading, it starts therefore, so there is some foundation that Tony was mentioning this morning. There are some foundations that Jesus laid when he said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. And the reason is all about the truth of who God is, and himself, who God is himself, and our connection with him. So what does it mean when the Lord Jesus says, do not worry? I believe that Jesus is saying, do not reduce your view. That song said it all, praise God. Do not reduce your view. It was saying, I want to see, give me vision to see what how you do see things. Yes. So do not reduce your life, your views, your thinking, only about your life. Because we think it's all about me. It's my life. Which is very naturally then to worry about. Or maybe saying, do not magnify what is not eternal. It's just I sit with the Lord and say, what do you mean when you say do not worry? Because it's very natural for me to worry. It is sadly the default of the flesh to worry. It was something like, do not try to secure and guarantee your life for the side of eternity. Because simply by worry, I will never be satisfied. By just worrying about something, I will never be satisfied. Because true satisfaction comes from Him and what He deposited in us, which is His breath, His Holy Spirit. Therefore, Jesus is saying, your life is worth more than just being occupied, which I have done, and I'm guilty of it, or taken over, which I am guilty of, by daily worry about needs, but also it could be about a specific matter. Maybe you're not worried about food and drink. Maybe you have plenty, praise God for that. Maybe you're not worried about your clothes. And maybe Jesus is saying about your image, not just the clothes, because we sometimes have our own, not physical image, but also social image. Maybe we're worried about these things. The Lord taught in the same chapter, Luke 12, verse 4. Let me read it. I tell you, my friend, it's tough to hear. I tell you, my friend, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear, righteous people. Fear him who after killing the body of the body has power to throw you into the hell. Into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. What is the Lord saying to me? What he was saying, and what I believe he's saying, is that life, including my life, your life, continues after physical death. And that God, as we sang, is the only true and sovereign goal that have authority over us beyond the grave. And this is supposed to be good news for those who are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus also said in the beginning of this chapter that God, who does not forget five little sparrows, we've seen a lot of them now, it's a lovely weather, and it's singing and it's chirping everywhere. And if you sit in the garden and think, whoever sang this moment, God knows that little bird. It's beyond me. It's beyond me. The God who is very intimately familiar with us, even down to the hairs on our head, knows our needs and cares for us. Why? Why he cares for us? Jesus declared that God is our Father in verse 30, the same scripture we read. He said, for the pagan world runs after all these things, and your Father knows that you need God, but seek His kingdom. What Jesus is saying, the important thing for your current life here on earth is living right with God, being reconciled to God, God the Father. through His Son, Jesus Christ, and being continually sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And this is, was the new thing for me to learn from my journey. I don't want it to be my journey, the journey of being anxious and worried. It amazes me how God used awful things in our lives to sanctify us from the debris and getting rid of things that were not supposed to be in me, in my heart, in my thinking. It's amazing. God the Father, who feeds the ravens and clothes the lilies, knows already all our needs. Therefore, Jesus wants us, instead of worrying, to seek the kingdom. And as you know, English is not my first language, so I was wondering what is seeking. I can read it in another language, but it was saying, ask God's face. Which I thought, okay, but I really believe seeking is more than just asking. It is wanting to ask, wanting to inquire, wanting to search, wanting to get and to have and to keep. I would love that. I would keep God. And what's amazing, He wants us to keep Him for ourselves, but also to share. And seeking is really always intentionally, and it could be urgently. When I was seeking God for something and it was urgent and I was busy working and praying loudly, and it could be fervently and even sacrificially. That is seeking. And I was wondering, do I seek the kingdom of God this way? No, because I'm busy worrying. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God really is where we sang again this morning. Thank you. Bless you. Where God rules and reigns as the everlasting King, as the great I Am. This is always true, isn't it? This is always true in spiritual realm, but also true whenever the will of God is fulfilled here on this earth in our lives. In, I think, Romans 14:17, Paul has been asked about some practicality of practicing Christian life. So these guys in Romans church were asking him, what is the best day to worship God? Is it this or that? What is the best food? What is clean or unclean? Meat or vegetable? All of these practicalities. And as he was answering them, he spoke about the kingdom, which is amazing. So he says, for the kingdom of God, he was saying, don't worry about these things, don't be a stumbling block for someone who's weak in faith and all of that. But then he says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So why should we seek His kingdom, and how is that related to our worry and anxiety? I think I have overlooked this truth, that the kingdom of God is the purpose for my life and the purpose for your life. And as a consequence, the kingdom of God becomes, when we see the kingdom of God, becomes like a remedy and cure for our anxiety. You see, Jesus, I always say this, Jesus did not bring the kingdom of God from heaven here on earth so I will enjoy a holiday or I will not worry at all. He brought the kingdom to save my soul and your soul. But in the same time, once we are really seeking Him, worry will not be the first thing we are thinking of, will not be the new priority, because once He saved me, there is a purpose for my life and your life, and that is to further the kingdom of God. He didn't bring it just to me, to you. He brought it to be ruling and reigning here on this earth. And that's what the Lord Jesus said in Luke 4:43. He said, but I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And in Luke 9:1-2, he said, when Jesus had called the 12 together, you know this, he gave them power and authority to drive all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to worry, no, to preach, to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. I was looking at Open Doors, and they have these stories of real people, which is not recorded here, but it's extension, possibly in some way, simple, humble extension of the word of God. A lady that was born and brought up in Iran, married, I think she had 12 children and a husband, and then she met with God. And I was wondering, will we hear the same testimony that we're going to look through? If she worried about her life. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to this.
همین رو فکر میکردم اگه من نباشم یا اصلا اگه من رو باشه که من از زندگی اونا برم، واقعا از دوتا بچه من چه کسی نگهداری میکنه، واقعا چه کسی مراقبت میکنه. توی اون زمان من با اون یه دختر مسلمان خب همیشه دنبال خدا بودم، اون حضور خدا بود. خب خواهر همسرم در برای مسیح با من صحبت کرد و یه انجیل به من هدیه داد و ازم خواست که بخونم. گفتش که سه حدیث برای مسیح با
through that. because she was thirsty for God and she took that decision to follow him. But also we need to deal with anxiety and fear, not denying them. She didn't deny it, and I'm not going to deny it. And I'm hoping I will learn from what God allowed me to go through, but I probably still need you to support me, and you need me to support you. But it's a very, I get angry with worry, because it's a very subtle way that we are personally persecuted, especially more in the West, is when we attack our personal worry. Because there's different way of persecution, as we saw in the movie, in the video clip. But I believe what is happening is we are here in the West more than probably other areas. We are being conditioned to think like the world thinks, and we're conditioned to worry like the world. Children of God, people of God, you and I. And that is not godly. That is not God's desire for you and me to be fearful and anxious. I believe it is the kingdom of the world trying to put us under its thumb. And that's why we need to deal with worry and anxiety. Because otherwise it enslaves us to this passive world and take us away from the real purpose for our lives, and that is having the kingdom of God in us, around us, and furthering the kingdom of God. And in the middle of the pain, I was thinking, is it possible to have? I mean, I know the scripture. Knowing the scripture is one thing. To believe it in your God is something else, isn't it? I was thinking, is it possible to have the kingdom of God here on earth? Of course it is. That's what Jesus teaches us. We read it here. He said, do not be afraid, little flock. Verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased, past tense, to give you the kingdom. So what this telling me is the plan of God has been already established. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom of heaven here on earth for those who believe in him. And what was lacking in my case is my response, how to seek his kingdom for me. So if you are thinking, so how do I seek the kingdom? Please read the rest of Luke 12. There is some practical indication that Jesus mentions there, which are very useful. And there is one more which I always speak about. I'm sure by now you guessed what it is. Some indications, he said, instead of worry, he said, be watchful and expect and be sure of his return. Be watchful. I remember, if I may share this, it was 1991, probably January, when United States of America was bombarding one morning Iraq, the capital, and they said it will be shock and awe, and it was shock and awe. We didn't sleep because we were expecting it, so they did say, by this hour we will start. Can you imagine? No, you can't, but so on. And I remember I was expecting Helen then. I was sharing that with you ladies at prayer. And when the bombing starts, I'm not very good in weapons and I don't want to. The guys, I believe Gabby and the guys were out before they were called for the army. The skies was lit with all sorts of anti-craft and all of that, and explosions. And I was really terrified. And I just closed my eyes and I think one thing I said to the Lord, Lord, do not let this baby be born now. Because I was thinking, wherever I run, it's easier to carry the baby with me. And I close my eyes and I start praying. And suddenly all these fire and hell and lights in the skies turned in my prayer to fireworks preparing for the Lord Jesus. And I remember seeing him, not his face, but his body, seeing him walking on the clouds. And I cannot tell you how much gave me strength and hope that Jesus is coming no matter what is happening right now. Praise God. And that has not changed. And we should still be watchful and expectant of his sure return. The other way, which is also practical, that the Lord Jesus mentions, is by being ready to serve and prepare the way. That's how we handle our worry. We will not deny it or bury it, because it will not get rid of it that way. We will not get rid of it that way. But by being ready to serve others. Because even when you are struggling, God has given and poured in you his spirit to enable you to help someone else. And lastly, which I love to mention all the time, is by praying. That's what Jesus told us. The Lord's Prayer says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's God's desire to give us his kingdom, and he did. And God's teaching is to pray for the kingdom of heaven to be evident in your life. And also by personal prayers. You know, I was raised up in a very beautiful, conservative Christianity. I cannot remember hearing any of my family praying for themselves. They would always pray for other people. When I was saved, and then we got married, and I think we came here as a family. Graham Webber was the first person I heard him praying for himself, and I thought, oh, is that possible? Is that something, you know, Christians do? And I was looking at Philippians 4:6-7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. I think what we do, I learned from my mistakes. I'm just sharing my mistakes this morning. So when we go through tough times, we are so focusing on that thing and praying for it, which is not bad. But sometimes the Lord, as I mentioned already, he uses it to deal with something else. So for example, if there is a health crisis, he is probably using that to free us from fear of death. By the way, that was one of the things that the Lord set me free from, because I always thought, believed this lie that I'm going to die in my early 30s. Another worry he dealt with. And it was when I asked him, when I gave my life to Jesus in that fellowship, I was really ridiculed by relatives and some family members, not knowing what's happening, and I was considered as a traitor. I was sharing this with you again yesterday. I went to bed and said, Lord, I'm confused. Is this wrong that I am letting go of traditions and just following you? Am I doing something wrong? And he gave me this amazing dream But through that dream, I realized following Jesus is never betraying who you are. But also, he showed me something about death, which I thought, wow, I am alive. He said, yes, well, I'm dead, yes. So he got rid of, helped me to get rid of fear of death. So I don't know what you're worried about. I pray you don't have any worry. If you don't, come and talk to me later. Show me. But if you have, don't be embarrassed to ask for help. But also, we should be ready to help each other. So if your worry is about practicality of daily life, there is other ways to help you. I just want to say that this is not an excuse and not a license for us to sit and do nothing. It's not an excuse for laziness. It's not an excuse for the lack of planning and preparation. It is the priority and realizing what is the purpose of your life here on earth. Because I always said to the Lord, okay, now I know you, why should I live here? Because it's all pain and struggle and all sorts. I would rather go to heaven. The purpose of our life is to further the kingdom of God. Through the worry. She was so thirsty, Sahar. She was so thirsty for God, she made her decision knowing she is denying herself all the securities and rights of having a family, a husband, and children. So let's give our worries to the Lord and make him king over these worries. Because when he rule and reign over the worry, whatever its name is, then the Lord King, where the Lord God is, there is freedom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shall we sing that song together, the last one? And let us ponder about it. Maybe we should spend some time praying after this one.